There's something childlike about Fable. He comes into the studio wearing red kicks and chinos and a khaki sweatshirt, sporting his denim and camo backpack. He is notably giddy in anticipation of the announcement that will reveal him as the next poet laureate of Grand Rapids. It's like there's a welling up of words that he hasn't properly organized but is happy to express through laughter. The evening before the announcement is made, we meet up at the WGVU studios in downtown Grand Rapids to talk about this honor. So we're sitting here in the WGVU studios with Fable, the poet.
Hey!
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Tell me a little bit about that process. How did you enter and how did you find out?
So it was really, really, really interesting. The Grand Rapids Public Library announced that Lou Klatt, the current poet laureate, that his position was coming to an end. It's a 3-year term. So they put out this press release of, hey, we're going to be accepting applications for the new poet laureate. And a bunch of people that I know online tagged me in it. And they were just like, hey, you should apply for this. Hey, you should apply for this. And I started like really looking into the last poet laureates and who they were and what they've done. And like, no offense to them, because like they're incredible. But like, I saw this common theme of them all being Caucasian, academia, older individuals. And I was just like, I'm like a sensitive individual. So it's like, I didn't even want to like put it out there and apply for it and not get it, because I felt like it would be like soul crushing. And then a few more individuals messaged me and they were like, hey, you need to do this. And I was like, I don't know, I'm on the fence. And they're like, no, for real, for us, you need to do it, because you've been doing stuff for so long. And if you got it, like, it would really be uplifting to a lot of us. And I was like, all right, cool, I'll do it. So I put together this 12-page packet that was samples of my work, my vision, what I would like to accomplish, short and long term. It was where I'm at now and how I got to where I'm at, all the shows that I've done, work that has been published. It turned out that hundreds of people applied for it. There was 5 judges. They brought it down to, I think, a final 20, and then they all chose 4 that really, really, really stuck out to them. And then they deliberated and got it down to a final 2. And they said that they were stuck. They didn't know what way that they were going to go. So they needed me to come in and interview for it. And from what I've heard, like, it's never been that tight of a race, as well as like there's never been an interview process for the final 2. So I was like, all right, hey, like, I like to talk. So it's like, let me get in front of these people and show them why I'm so passionate and why I believe that I could do this. And then after a month later, I got an email that was like, hey, we just want to tell you that we selected you to be Grand Rapids next poet laureate. And I like ran around the house like, ah! like screaming, running all over the place.
So tell me a little bit about, as our new poet laureate, what it's going to take to get Grand Rapids where you need to be in terms of poetry.
The things that I want to do over my term is I really want to bring poetry to the people directly, and there's a huge disconnect. Of course, there's a huge disconnect in our city with segregation and just like multiple things. But there's people in East Grand Rapids or the West Side or the Southeast Side that don't know about events on the other side of town, or don't know about a lot of the events that are happening in Grand Rapids. There's poetry shows almost every single night of the week in our city, and people don't know that. And I can see like, yeah.
I don't know about this.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't. And I was talking to people about that, and they were just like, oh, I didn't know that that was going on. There's also a huge separation between like academia as well as like local poets, ground level poets that are like hitting the pavement and getting their work out. So the first thing that I wanted to do that I am doing, coming out the gate swinging and pointing for the fences, is I'm putting together a video. It's a video that interviews all the different hosts, all the different poetry events. I'm collaborating with Downtown Grand Rapids Inc. as well as Experience Grand Rapids and Carbon Stories, an incredible video production company. And we've brought this video to life that features all these different spots. Some of these places are all ages. Some of these places don't have drinking. Some of these places are 21 and up, 18 and up. But there's something for everybody. And what I'm going to do is spread that out on a huge scale and send this high quality video out and have all these people all over Grand Rapids go, wow, we didn't even realize all these things were happening, or all these events are almost all free. Like, people love to experience Grand Rapids, but what way to experience Grand Rapids than through the voices of the locals?
How did you start to write poetry, and what got you to become our poet laureate?
That is actually like a huge reason of why I do everything that I do today, and everything runs full circle. I was not doing good in high school English class. I was failing out of it. And thanks to an incredible educator, she would pass me if I turned in different pieces of creative writing every day. So some of them were like short stories. Some of them were like rap, like hip hop. And at the end of the year, she was like, "Hey, have you ever thought about writing for a living?" And I was like, "No. We had a deal." Like, we made this agreement. You knew what it was. But she sent me to a writer's camp at the University of Michigan that was the King Chavez Parks, the KCP camp. One of the workshops that I went to was ran by the Ann Arbor Poetry Slam team. And I didn't realize that they had such a huge scene, but at the time, Ann Arbor Poetry Slam was big. I got made to fall in love with poetry. They're the ones that gave me the name, the stage name Fable, that like I still use and that sticks to this day. And because of them, that is why I do work with the youth. And that's why I try to inspire individuals, because like in the last few years, I've been in close to 20 schools. The next 3 years will probably be in between 30 and 50. If I can inspire 1, 2, 3, 20, 40, 50 students to pick up a pen and stick with it, like that's a whole another generation of writers that we're going to have coming out of Grand Rapids. And like, if we can start them young, like that's how you create a culture, especially a booming culture, is you start them young and then get these older generations into it. Like then it all trickles out and it spreads. And that's really what I've been focused on and how I got into it.
Could you read a poem for us to kind of kick off your laureate?
The best way I describe it is like, you're like the mayor of poetry in the city.
Boom. All right, so let's hear your inaugural address.
Here it is. This is a poem inspired by Kehinde Wiley's painting Designed for Stained Glass Window with Wild Man that's at the UICA right now. When staring at this painting, I'm reminded so many of us was never encouraged to dream. That a gold accent can be draped around as fresh as an 04 welcome to Rock Nation chain. That even without being a diplomat, we are destined to shine. I see him relax, reclined, a co-pilot with his sneakers, peeking out the passenger window, same as any one of us at the time, working to cash out, glow out, now blow out stock speakers, just trying to shine. Bass maxed out, treble turned down, before we ever knew we were missing the sound. I roll with a gang of gangs who hang and bang, animals, orangutans, chanting Dipset, Dipset, Dipset. I could have swore I knew him before I knew I didn't. Lose 5950, Easter Air Force Ones with a pastel patent, polo with a tall tee and a miracle to match it. For too long, I haven't seen this. Is magic. Is that not America's grand finale? Its greatest masterpiece. We play necromancer with the toe tagged, erect tombs out of hashtags, use shirts as memorials, the irony between cotton and a free Gucci or rest in peace t-shirt is a metaphor I haven't yet mastered. But here we are in a museum on display, basking in the work it takes to bring us to life. When staring at this painting, I see that I was never encouraged to dream. That even if that boy is gone, he lives, at least here, if not only here, flowers all around him will still above ground. To be seen cuffed without shackles, that is a true religion. Still vibrant, invisible, that picture is Javon going hard body to the lane on Nike court when the surface was as teal as the seas we only saw in books. Aaron's pull up every time, neck exploding as we turn firework on the sideline. Kyle's pull up every time as our student section became a roar before we felt like anything more than prey. Kyron's pull up every time before fist fights landed more than shots on double rims. This poem is me being reminded that we are more than just sports every time. This work of art is Jamal's laugh after cooking you. My brother's Keenan's voice on some Isley Brothers meets D'Angelo type stuff. Darian's crossover in the day and one mixtapes with a touch of hot sauce added on for finesse. Foster's new suit for each event dripping 90s like candy paint. Martell's locks blowing in the wind, flying down Fulton Street on two wheels, no need for a destination. Julius standing on the speaker of the pyramid scheme, microphone in hand, not a care but a cadence, spraying water like a dragon, spitting bars like the gospel. Keontae, creatively uncontrollable, brain untamed, hair aflame, mane out in dreaming. This picture is my poems. That picture is my poems. This picture is all we ever had and always wanted. The opportunity to be ourselves, without judgment, celebrated for once, for being, just being.
Support for Mutually Inclusive comes from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.